Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. There are a few people who have come out of the last few years with more information and people following them, and who's really been spot on time and again. He's written a book about COVID, but now we have the implosion of the banking system. He has a background, a very impressive and very successful background in banking as well. Thank you for joining me, Ed Dowd.
Hey, good to be here, Mel. Thanks.
Thank you. What a lucky day for me. I actually wanted to have you on to talk about a lot of the stuff that you're working on right now in real time, which has to do with the workforce and what's happened on that level. And, you know, just we're just being lied to on all fronts. Of course, in the last 48 hours, we saw the implosion of Silicon Valley Bank and some other things going on. But you've been saying from the beginning, even before you wrote your book about the COVID deaths and went through the actuary numbers and all the things that really brought you to the forefront in this fight for truth, you always thought this was about the financial system.
Yeah, and when I first started going viral in February, I first went on the War Room with Steve Bannon. I talked about a global economic sovereign debt collapse, and that started with the stocks peaking in January of 22, commodities peaked in June of 22. The last piece of the puzzle, it's called the checkmate chart. The last piece of the puzzle is short-term rates. Right. And the three-month T-bill is almost through the discount rate. What that means is the market's going to force the Fed to cut interest rates because we're in a deflationary death spiral that started triggering in November of last year. M2, the money supply, it went negative year-over-year growth. That's the fifth time since 1868. Last time was 1930. So this is a big deal, and it's beyond everyone's control, and it is what it is.
Yeah. Now, last time you were on, we talked a little bit about 2008 and that crash then, and how after that crash, nothing happened. Nobody went to jail. It appears that the only thing that happened was that many, many financial institutions that were too small to save disappeared, or they were given all kinds of regulations that they couldn't keep up, or they had to hire people. It was impossible. So it shrunk the amount of banks very small. It appears again that this is, I'm going to ask you to explain it. So they're coming in with a solution that sounds very similar, that they're again going to go after the small, too small to save when there's so many less of them now, and kind of prop up the central banks to the demise of anyone that's surviving regionally or locally. Is that kind of what's happening?
Well, it looks like what's going to unfold, whether it was a plan or not, this is what's going to happen. So Silicon Valley Bank, the shareholders and the bondholders are wiped out. So there wasn't a bailout for those people. They're going to make the depositors whole, take over the assets. There's a little bit of QE going on here because they're giving, pledging loans on the portfolio that's down. Some of these bonds they bought were underwater, and they're very safe bonds, treasuries and agencies, because they bought them when interest rates were lower, and they're trading at 70 points versus par. So they're going to give loans against par. So that's a form of QE. So there's a little bit of QE going on snuck in here. The plan, or just what's going to unfold, is regional banks are going to go poof. The depositors will be okay. The assets will be gobbled up by the six systemically important banks. Right. So this is going to be another wave of consolidation and power. We're going to look more like Canada. Canada's got ginormous banks. They don't have regional banks. We're going to be like Canada. And if you wanted to implement social credit scores and central bank digital currency, wouldn't it be easier if there were fewer banks? That's just me. I don't have any proof. I wasn't in the room, but
thank God. Yeah, but that's interesting that you say that, because somebody was in the room and somebody is manipulating this operation. It's funny. I look back over several. Now, you did work at BlackRock, so you might not be able to really comment on this, but I do look back and I see. There was that big ESG letter that Fink sent out that everyone had to walk in lockstep with this ESG score plan. Then he did his big speech in Jackson Hole about now how they have to go direct. And I'm not sure what go direct mean, but it sounds like if you read that speech, he means we're going to just skip the government. We're going to just go direct to the people. Then we had the pandemic. Then BlackRock again had something to do with giving out the money during the pandemic. Now we're at a place where it appears the central bank digital currency, ESG score, all of this stuff has been put through multiple executive orders. And a lot of people don't realize, apparently, they've been testing it out. The Biden regime is in a pilot program for the last 6 months, apparently. So it does seem that the central bank digital currency, but again, I don't know how many people understand that it's not money. It's something else. What is it really that people can understand so they get what they're walking into?
So, you know, a very ginormous individual from the Bank of International Settlements a year and a half ago described what the central bank digital currency is. And he didn't say it directly, but from his words, it was all about control, and you can control what people do with their money. So you can take this to its absurd end. If they don't want you to eat meat, they give you a quota. And if you go to the cash register at the grocery store, it'll be tied to your credit card. And the person at the grocery store say, "I'm sorry, I can't ring you up. You've eaten your meat allotment for the month." So it's total control. This is a technocrat's wet dream.
Right.
It's a nightmare for 99.9999% of the population.
Right. And right now, what we do have, another thing you're working on is because of the COVID, and because you went through a lot of the data and the actuary data and all that stuff for your book already, now you're also onto this fraud that we keep getting about the labor market, about unemployment, about all these numbers seem to me totally impossible to be real. What are they manipulating right now that is leading people to believe that we're in way better shape than we actually are?
Well, we're tying the pieces of the puzzle together. So we got excess deaths, we got disabilities in the U.S.
Right.
And guess what? The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics also does some interesting data on absence rates and work time lost. And we're about to put out a report on that. Then we're going to tie all the pieces of the puzzle together. And interestingly enough, they all seem to have the same rates of occurrence starting around mass vaccination. So we're basically going to say, yeah, we're done. It's definitive. The vaccines caused it. Not only that, the economic cost is horrendous. So, you know, this low unemployment is a lie. I don't know exactly how they calculate it, but obviously they're ignoring the fact that there's dead people, disabled people, and they're not obviously talking about the work time lost. And that we're going to show, I'll give you a highlight. We're going to show that starting in 2021, it rose a little bit in 2020, obviously, because people weren't working because, you know, lockdowns, but then right. It exploded in 2021 and even further in 2022, work time lost. And in 2022, it's 11 standard deviations above trend, work time lost. We're going to put a dollar figure on that.
Yeah. What I did hear also from one of the attorneys I talked to is the amount of people applying for disability is like off the charts. they've never, and they don't have the money to fund this. So then what? You know, it's very scary that that all of the numbers just seem to be fraudulent. But then that leads you to the question of who benefits from this. I mean, obviously America loses, our country loses, our markets lose. But who could possibly be benefiting from this? Controlled demolition of America from the inside out, it appears, especially our financial system.
Well, obviously, there's a small group that's going to benefit, central bankers and the politicians that do their bidding. And again, I made a presentation on October 1st at the American Freedom Conference, and the video is available. It's pinned to my Getter site. And I said, basically, don't ever forget what you're seeing unfold is due to what we didn't fix in 2008 on your last show. Right. What we did is we solved the debt problem with more debt, because the system, this at the core of this, the system is flawed. It is a system that needs constant credit creation to keep the thing going. It's a ginormous multi-generational Ponzi. And the Federal Reserve System came in 1913, and then they unlinked it to gold in the 70s to the petrodollar. That gave it more years of life. And again, I want to emphasize what you're seeing with this money supply M2 year-over-year change in growth going negative. Again, it's only the fifth time it's happened since 1868. And the reason why this is so important is because I said that the monetary system needs constant growth. Right. When it goes into this type of situation, there it's been associated historically with panics. And I did an interview with Tim Wood on Saturday. He's a cycles analyst. And every one of those instances are associated with historical panic. So this is a panic about to unfold. So we are in a very precarious time historically. The globe has been poisoned and we have a financial collapse. So again, this is all speculation. I'm just, wargaming this. These clowns, Klaus Schwab and Fauci and Harari, says, and Gates, I think these people are all being set up. I think what you're going to see is they've been offered to us as, the caricatures of Bond villains.
Right.
They're going to be thrown under the bus, and then some beautiful, handsome people are going to come out of left field we haven't seen yet, or maybe they're amongst us, and offer us a system, a new system.
Right. Yeah, of course, the Hegelian dialectic. They create the problem, then they come in with the answer, and then the people, they expect the sheeple to walk right in and say, thank you for helping us. It's very scary because, I was talking to this historian the other day, and he was talking about the creation of wealth, actually what happened under Wilson with what you're talking about here. And his theory was that actually the crown and the Bank of England or the City of London or whatever has really always been the kind of infiltrated our financial system from at least 1913 when the Fed came in. And everything that's been happening then has kind of been a sham. The people don't even know what's going on and that it couldn't go on much longer. So you wonder if the whole Great Reset, as you said a long time ago, was really about that their model was failing and that they had to do something. And one of those things I believe now, honestly, was the plandemic. But, we at this point, we're still working on that. But it does seem if you just look at their whole plans for the Great Reset and then enter in the fourth industrial revolution and what are we going to do with all these useless people? It really does seem like this diabolical top down, you can call it a conspiracy theory, but it seems like a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy of interests. Some people are unwitting participants in it. I mean, you got to understand, everyone thinks everyone at the CEO level didn't get the jab. They did. I know for a fact, oligarchs, I have inside sources, oligarchs that you would think would be in on it are horrified that they took the jab. And if you got the jab, you're not in the club. The club's very small.
Yes, exactly.
And a lot of the club is very small. It's tiny. And super, super wealthy oligarchs are not even in the club. So this is going to be fascinating to watch unfold.
Yeah, it is. That's funny. That guy I was speaking to, he was saying, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Soros, these are guys that like walk to the front and were like, look at me. And they're not, but people are going to be shocked. It really, they too were also kind of front men for whatever's really going on, which is interesting all on its own. Now, something happened too that I think.
Again, this is all speculation on my part. I have no proof. But I mean, what we do know is the financial system's collapsing. COVID mysteriously came in 2020, right when China was hitting its demographic wall. In 2019, the Fed was about to lose control. They were able to print a tremendous amount of money to give them another 2 years to set up control systems. And now we're imploding again. It's not doom and gloom. And I don't want people to be afraid because I think this is going to unfold slowly over time. It could be speedy, meaning complete collapse suddenly. But I think it's going to be a boiling frog scenario where mm-hmm. there's going to be all sorts of moving pieces. But over time, stocks go down. Corporate credits go down. The only thing that'll be safe is the U.S. government treasury 3-month T-bill.
Yeah,
that'll be it.
But maybe it's time for it to kind of, it's terrible and it'll be difficult and get hard to get through. But I mean, how much longer could this
fraud? No, it can't. It's inevitable. It's beyond their control too. The system mathematically. So one of the things you need to understand is the debt interest compounding on debt grows at a rate that is not a rate that we find in nature. So debt grows at most things in nature grow at God's rate, the, you know, the golden ratio. Debt grows at Satan's rate and it collapses. So that's it. I mean, it's metaphysical, but that's it.
Right. Right. Now, is it now there was a lot of I don't know for sure either, but there was a lot of information that came out that Peter Thiel and other big venture capitalists were telling their people to pull their money out of that Silicon Valley Bank. We don't know that for sure. Why did they go into Silicon Valley Bank to begin with? It's very unclear how they became the target. Right. It's weird.
Look, what's interesting is this. I don't find myself often agreeing with Chris Hayes from MSNBC.
I understand.
But he put out a tweet that said that the VC billionaires caused a run on their own bank because Peter Thiel and others pulled all their money, and then they clamored for a bailout. So what's going on is strange bedfellows are starting to be created. Lots of people on both sides, blue team, red. People are starting to wake up. And again, I've been talking for about a year now about team humanity. Yeah. We're going to have to learn to put aside our differences because we're not in the club. Chris Hayes is not in the club.
Right.
I'm not in the club. You're not in the club. So we all have to come together and we, the people, have to get a seat at the table. So what's interesting is a lot of people are being red pilled very quickly. Yeah. I just put out a tweet before I got on your show. The vaccine democide that's being covered up by the government is going to come to light over time because you can't hide the bodies and the disabilities. That's coming out. And then we have a financial collapse at the same time. The red pilling is going to be fast and furious. There's going to be a lot of anger.
Right.
Associate, because when you get red pilled too quick, the anger comes. and so we're going to have a lot of new members of our club, but we have to help them manage their anger so that they don't lose their minds and start, you know, flailing around, getting violent. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to have new members to our team, and our numbers are growing. So that's the good news.
Yeah. My question there then is, because we've talked about it and you've talked about it. So we have to create a different system. We have to decentralize. A lot of people have talked about local action, local investment, local that. What I'm scared of, because of as I'm reading what the solution is coming from the central bankers, it sounds like they're going to go after local banks and after regional banks. And those banks will be, it'll be harder to even get out of the system if they tighten up so much again. Will that make it more difficult for people to actually, because it's been a big thing for the last year, for especially for people that were awake and red pilled, to start a decentralized kind of local parallel financial universe. It looks like they're going in for the kill to try to stop that before it can happen.
Yeah, no, look, I think I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's globalization's over. That's done. Physical presence to people that you know in your community is going to become more important. You know, social media, a lot of us have a lot of contacts on social media, and that's all exciting with the dopamine hits. But, you know, I went to a dinner 2 weeks ago locally because I did an event here on Maui with Dr. Mikovits. And talk about the vaccines. And someone said, hey, in a lot of your interviews, you talk about, you know, local community and setting up networks. And they wanted me to do it. I said, look, I don't have time. Is someone here? I just don't. I mean, I can't do everything all at once. I said, if someone wants to grab the mantle, go ahead. And then someone reached out to me. I went to dinner. And the way we're going to do it is what happens is when you create organizational structures, egos and weirdness get involved. It's human nature.
Right.
So what we're going to, I think the best course forward is just gather as a community of like-minded individuals, don't set up structures, just have principles, not personalities, right, and just let people gather, and you'll form your own networks from those gatherings, right. You know, because, you know, some people are not going to like other people. So we got to do this in a way that's not, you know, leaders with, you know, like, you know, their agendas, just get together, have each other's backs, because there's going to be a strange time where, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But I think parallel systems will develop. I think on the other side of this is a renaissance, because as the population wakes up that they've been poisoned, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
And this is going to become a problem for those who are implementing this plan that I think is being implemented, which is a new global monetary system with the final solution, central bank digital currency, and total ultimate control of everything. So if you're a dissident, they can shut off your bank and you starve to death.
Right.
They don't need to take you to the gulag, because that's, you can't take everybody to the gulag. So this is a good way of doing it, I guess. It's a digital gulag.
Yeah. Well, what's scary about that is that the people that created the digital gulag that's already functioning in CCP China happen to have a lot of spots behind the scenes in our current government down there in D.C. I saw Eric Schmidt is writing the AI Bill of Rights. I don't know who hired him to do that, but I didn't. And we have a lot of this stuff happening. So AI is coming in, and Fourth Industrial Revolution. Does this play a role in this, or is that a danger? Because I keep saying to people, well, I don't think we can stop it, but we probably have to figure out how to use it for good. Because when you hear Harari or any of these lunatics talk, Klaus Schwab stood up there 2 weeks ago and said, "Whoever controls the AI will rule the world, and that'll be us." And I'm like, oh my God! So what's the future with that?
Let me talk about AI. So I've looked at ChatGPT. It is it's not AI. Why is it not AI? Because I asked it if the vaccines were causing death and disability, and it told me no.
Right.
So it seems to be, it's being put forth as AI, so people buy into it and it becomes the ultimate arbiter of truth. It's not AI. It's not. AI, true AI would be like me and go, "Hey, something smells fishy here." You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. What they program, and whoever controls the keys of this ChatGPT can put in whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, I think it's a propaganda tool at this point.
I was saying last week to somebody and they were confused, because I was like, I think this is a distraction. I also think whatever they have that is AI is so advanced to what they're showing us that it's like a joke, like, because they've been working on this since World War II, if not before. So they're way, way more advanced than a ChatGPT that's telling you that they won't do jokes for Dave Chappelle because he's controversial. If you put it in the ChatGPT.
It's woke. ChatGPT is woke.
It's sad. It's stupid. Okay. Last thing I want to ask you, because it's a lot of people's primary asset, people that didn't, you know, that just worked their whole lives and put away money and this and that, is their home. And something weird is going on with homes and mortgages, because first I was alarmed like a year ago when I saw that Blackstone was buying up homes. And then I read the 750,000 single family homes and all of this. And of course, I immediately think, oh, you'll own nothing and be happy, including your home. But now it looks like this real estate market, there is something bizarre going on. And I'm looking to move, and I went to a realtor, and they started telling me that everyone now in real estate uses this AI program that kind of, you can go look at a price of a house today and they'll be like, well, you got to get it now, because in a week it could be totally different price, and it's being controlled by something. Do you have any insight in what is going on in real estate? Because I think that that's a big, that's something at least universally of all income levels. Real estate is most people's strongest hard asset that they have, if they have.
Well, I don't know the particulars of what you're speaking to, but what I can say is this: if you own one home and it's your home and you're in it, and it never really was intended to be an investment. The financial world turned it into an investment, but it's your home. You live in it and just don't worry about it. If you have multiple homes that are levered up and you're expecting rental income from them, delever as quickly as possible, because we're in a deflationary death spiral. And sell as quickly as you can, because not only is real estate going to go lower, we have a demographic problem in 25, 26. It's going to trigger and cause, regardless of what's going on, real estate to go lower. There was a demographic problem in 2008, right? And that's why we had the housing crisis. So demographics are destiny. There's another one coming, 25, 26. My partners at Finance Technologies, Carlos Alegria, wrote in his book that it's coming, and it's coming. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but if you own one home, it's your home. Don't worry about it.
Right.
And look, if this gets as weird as it could get, like, things are going to get super strange. Like, you know, possession will be 9/10 of the law. If you're in your house, you're in your house. And if they try to take it, good luck to them.
Exactly. That's where we are, right? And yeah. Now, last but not least, your book has really opened a lot of eyes. Are you... are you used to, because at first people kind of, I saw you wrote a tweet and you were like, a year ago, people were like, what are you talking about? You're crazy conspiracy theorists. Now those same people are coming to you asking, asking yeah. what is going on. So tell me just real quick before we end about a little bit about your personal journey on this road, because a lot of people, you didn't just wake up and realize it. You actually had to convince yourself first.
I had to convince myself. And, I really started getting conviction in the fall of 2021, but I was worried all of 21, but the conviction, and you know, by the end of 21, I was like, I'm 100% right. Now I'm 200% right. That the data keeps proving me right. If this, let me give you the analogy of a stock. When you have a thesis, when I was at BlackRock and I had a thesis, you know, 5% was my max position because, you know, there were rules and regulations about mutual funds, and you can't have too much concentration, right? So 5% is max position. When I had an idea and I had a thesis and it was early days, I'd buy 50 basis points. And as I did more work and get more conviction, I'd make it one. Right now, this would be max position. And if I could like break the rules, I'd make it a 25% position in my portfolio. Right. And as the data comes out and you're more convicted, you buy more of the stock. You buy more. So that's where we are. And I will tell you, we're the people. So a year ago, I was crazy. Now I'm going on Tucker Carlson. I'm going on Patrick Bet David. I know. You know, that's where we are. Yeah. So that's where, and my Twitter following, again, it's not Ed Dad. I'm looking at it as an analyst. Like, my growth has like gone from like 100 a day to 500 a day to 1,000 to 3. Like I'm just my so there's an awakening going on.
Yes, yes, and I think people have to be real honest about it because a lot of people are demoralized, and it's more and more. I'm having people texting me like, "Is America done? Is there anything we can do?" I mean, and these are people that weren't engaged. I say a lot of times, like it's not the or like Arendt said, it wasn't the convinced Nazi or the committed. Communist. It was the apathetic German that allowed what happened in Germany. And I feel like we had a lot of apathetic Americans that are about to about to wake up on a massive scale, one reason or another. So I'm actually hopeful for because I think it's the only way forward is if the people are more engaged and more awake. So do you see that happening? That because you're what you watch trends. Do you feel like?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm hopeful.
Good.
I'm not one of these people that's like, because a lot of people say, oh, the sheep are the sheep and they'll never. Well, you know what? I was on a podcast and so they had all sorts of red pilled information. I said, look, most of the 90% of the population has no clue. But if we can convince them they were just poisoned by their government, they'll go do their own discovery.
Right.
And because you and I've been at this a long time and you can't tell people how the world really is. They freak out.
Right.
But if you can tell them you were just poisoned by your government, they'll go on their own and they question that. They'll question everything. It's like, remember the first time you woke up, you saw one thing and then you went down the rabbit hole. Yes. And then, you know, and you probably went through what I went through. You went through a period of like anger, denial, a little bit of depression. Then you came out the other side, said, well, it is what it is. I'm going to go forward.
Yeah. And for me, it's always been since I even started this, I follow the money. It's a very small group of people that are manipulating a lot of stuff. And that makes me even more hopeful that as people more and more follow these paths, because like you just said, I always say, don't hit people over the head with information, make them use their own critical thinking skills, like you're saying, and let them go. Because once it starts, I can say for myself, it doesn't stop. You can't unsee when you see some of this truth.
I will tell you that I've heard anecdotes about my book. So someone will get my book, read it, that was kind of on the fence. Then they wake up and they'll buy 12 copies and give it to all their loved ones. I'm not joking.
That's the goal.
The book sales are going well, word of mouth. I mean, I'm trying the best I can, but it's starting to go word of mouth. I know for a fact that very influential celebrities, I won't name them, have read the book and they're now handing them out to their loved ones and their friends. So it's beginning.
Yeah. Well, that's one way to do it. Your book happens to be also from a point of view of somebody who's skeptical. You know, when you're hitting somebody with like, you got to listen to me. You got to like, you actually go through the process. And look, we got to be honest. People are seeing it. People are seeing it because now there's all the cancer data on top of this data. So my fear is that it's going to get worse on that front, but hopefully enough people will stop playing along and start to take care of themselves. And any last words for the people out there that are watching? First of all, we'll put a link to your book. I know a lot of people last show bought it and loved it and probably shared it. So very important. And anything else? And then tell people where and how they can follow you, please.
Yeah, so the bottom line is this. I put a tweet as Silicon Valley Bank was imploding. I said, look, the news flow is going to get super rapid. I, as a news junkie, can't even keep up with all of what's going on. But everyone needs to remain calm. Don't panic. The world's not ending. It's just changing. You have to get rid of your normalcy bias. And if you freak out and get depressed and anxious, you're not useful to anybody, especially your family and your loved ones. So we're going to get through this. It's just, it's not the end of the world. It's just a change, and we're going to do it. And, and you can find me at, financetechnologies.com. That's PH instead of F. We have something called the Humanity Project. We have all the receipts. We're putting out reports. You can find me at Getter at Edward Dowd or Twitter at Dowd Edward. And that's D-O-W-D. And you can also, I have a personal website, which I haven't updated in a while. TheyLiedPeopleDied.com. So I'm all over the place.
You are. But you know, what's great about your voice is, to me, like I said, you're very skeptical from, you've always been from the beginning and very honest. And not a lot of people have all of the different skill sets and success in many different fields. We need more of that. I mean, we're going to need your help in rebuilding this mess. So I'm really grateful that you're on the front lines, and I continue to follow you regularly for some truth, but also you keep a good sense of humor about it when you can. So I appreciate it.
You have to. I mean, we got to laugh a little bit. I mean, it's crazy.
Like you said, things are going to get weird, but we'll make it anyway. Thank you so much, Ed Dowd.
Thanks, Mel. Take care.
You too. Hello, Patriot Pals. I am here again to talk to you about something that's concerning me, and it might be concerning you. This is something all of us are starting to feel on the front lines, which is the controlled demolition of the U.S. dollar and our economy. Right now, if you go to the supermarket or you go fill up your car or just your day-to-day expenses, we are seeing an average of $6,000 in bigger costs across the board for each American family at this point. Our 401ks and our pensions are being decimated, and there seems to be no end in sight, at least not right now, because we are at an 8% inflation rate, and that does not seem to be the end of it. And that is a 40-year high. So we've never really seen anything like this in our lifetimes. What we've seen in 2021 and 2022 with the Federal Reserve and the printing of cash is an influx where 40% of the US dollars out there have been printed in the last 2 years, devaluing our dollar dramatically. The rest of the world right now is strongly considering returning back to the gold standard and leaving the reserve currency of the US dollar behind. This has been a result of the sanctions in Russia and other sanctions by our government on foreign countries that no longer trust the US dollar. And I think the best thing we can do is A, know that we have to weather this storm. We have a financial storm brewing. We are going to get through it. America will prevail. But in the meantime, I really am suggesting, as I am doing myself, to protect your savings, protect your 401ks and IRAs. And the great way to do that for me is gold and silver. I've been working with Beverly Hills Precious Metals for a little over 2 years. They've been really great with me and my family and friends. They have experts in different fields and different avenues. And if you go to our partners page and you go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, you will find a real person who knows exactly what can be done to help you in whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself. They will meet you there. They will help you come up with a plan. You can have your gold and silver delivered to you. They also have a depository that's insured that you can have your gold and silver there for you. And in the end, I do believe that America will succeed and we will rise again. And this country will return to the greatness and the beauty that we know and love. But in the meantime, we have a storm ahead. It's very uncertain. To learn more, please go to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and find Beverly Hills Precious Metals and contact the experts there to find the best path for you and your family to protect your savings and to prepare for whatever's ahead. God bless you. God bless America. And please take care of your family first.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. You've made them a huge success, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. Not only that, I'm having the biggest closeout sale ever on our sandals and slides for as low as $19.98. What makes my slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help reduce stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers, or for as low as $19.98, you can get our sandals or slides. Quantities won't last long, and with my 60-day money-back guarantee, you can rest assured they'll be the most comfortable footwear you'll ever own.